Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Water for the Rose by Wayne Lutie is a collection of introspective poems. Poems that are emotion-driven, thought-provoking, eclectic, and sensual. One review said poems to be savored, not devoured. Wayne is a native of San Francisco, 4 years in the United States Air Force as an air traffic controller, 2 years in England, 1 year in Thailand, 1969 during the Vietnam War. Graduated from San Francisco State with a BA in International Relations, worked 1 year with Procter & Gamble, traveling the United States, managing sampling distribution of products in various cities, moved to Louisville, Kentucky in 1974, and stayed. Met his wife there. They've been together for 47 years. Worked 17 years with IBM, both accounts, administration, and financial analyst. His department was downsized out September 30th of 1994. Wayne has been doing landscape design and landscape construction since October 1st of 1974. Wayne is also the author of I Am Here, Let's Go Home, Poems of San Francisco of Earlier Times and Places, which focuses on his time living in San Francisco, England, and Thailand. Wayne Lutie, author of Water for the Rose and I Am Here, Let's Go Home, Poems of San Francisco of Earlier Times and Places, is our guest on This Week in America. Wayne, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's so interesting what you do, how you go about writing poetry. And I mentioned these are poems to be savored, and we'll talk about that during the course of the program. So often we rush through poetry and don't do justice for the author that spent time constructing this thought and laying it out for us. And I want to talk about how to enjoy poetry. But first of all, you've been writing for a long time. What's the most important thing to you when you're writing poetry?
Well, for me, any art form, the essence is communication. So I want my poems to be able to communicate. So they have to be clear. I believe that it's easier to take in communication when it has a lot of image and more of a visceral connection, where it almost has flavors and smells and textures and colors. So I try to make it as appetizing as possible with image.
Well, you do that, and you do that so well. The review's excellent for both of the books, Water for the Rose and the book I Am Here, Let's Go Home. Both available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on and get information and order both books there as well. What poets, writers, artists have most influenced you, sort of shaped your love of the art form and shaped your style?
Well, my favorite is Rainer Maria Rilke. And I read him probably when in my college years. I loved his depth. I loved his perception of psychology. And the other German poet that I liked was Goethe. And I didn't really read much of Goethe, his works and his poetry. When I was a high school student, I had a book of quotations, and I found myself just drawn to his quotations all the time. But I'm also very fond of some of the Greek writers, Nikos Kazantzakis, George Seferis, C.P. Kavafi. And then the Russian writers, really, for how they could kind of tear into the human soul, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Chekhov. I had the honor one time of meeting a Russian poet, Yevtushenko, in San Francisco. And I was just impressed of not only his writing, but just the intensity of character. So these are some of my favorites. And then just for fun, Lawrence Ferlinghetti. I love, you know, just the fun of his poetry.
You've got some good influences there. You're talking about some of the sharpest minds, and some people are at the top of the art form of writing poetry. Our guest on the program is Wayne Lutie. If you're Googling that, that's L-U-T-H-I. His books, both Water for the Rose and I Am Here, Let's Go Home, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. I mentioned you've been doing this for a while. This interest obviously goes back a number of years. How and when did you seriously start writing?
Well, I have to remember, I think the most impressive thing that kind of got me started was when I was an air traffic controller in the Air Force. After the planes were down at night, they would usually be down around midnight or whatever. So I had the rest of the night just to just kind of be there with not much to do. So I would write a lot of letters home at that in those days. That was 67 and 68 and 69. And I found that I became fond of certain words and images and so forth. So I started writing some poetry. And about that time in England in 67, the Moody Blues came out with their song Knights in White Satin.
Oh, yes.
And there was a poem that they kind of recited before they sang that, you know, cold-hearted orb that rules the night and so forth. And that kind of was kind of an inspiration for me that kind of got me started using all this writing and so forth that I was doing to kind of formulate the beginnings of poetry.
You know, that's amazing, that time in reading a little bit about you, how you had this sort of, some people would consider just a downtime, and creatively you were able to use that to tap into that time to develop the foundation for your writing expertise. And the books are available on Water for the Rose at I Am Here, Let's Go Home, at Amazon, all of the places where you buy books. And you're going to be in for a treat in getting both of these books by Wayne Luti, our guest on the program. What do you believe your responsibility is as an artist, as a poet?
Well, we live in a certain sense that is sometimes like a jungle, or rather chaotic. So my feeling is that my intent is to try to find beauty, to try to find truth, to be clear, and to put that out there. Beethoven once said something to the effect that let a person listen to my music and it can't help but be lifted. And I guess I've always kind of kept that as a motto. How can I lift?
Well, you've been able to successfully do that. And I love in the description of the book, you talk about running at about a 33 RPM speed. So you talk about the Moody Blues. We'll go back and talk about actual recording. Some people now understand that vinyl is so popular. But that's sort of the world that we live in is a 45 or 78 RPM world. You really need to slow down, appreciate what's going on around us, and appreciate the poems, don't you?
Yes, and I kind of liken reading poetry or taking poetry in. It's kind of like a good box of chocolates. We usually only eat one or two at a time, and we just kind of savor them. Very seldom do we kind of eat the whole box at once, so it's too much. So I kind of feel the same way about poems.
You know, it's interesting when you read the reviews, people say that. Don't pick it up and I got a few minutes here, I'm going to zip through a few poems. It's not like that, because you really need to think, contemplate. People even suggest reading them with a friend and then discussing the poems. They're written on that type of level. What motivated you to compose this book? Let's talk specifically about Water for the Rose. How did this come about, this poetry book that you put together?
Well, I have, over the past couple years, occasionally posted a poem or two on Facebook, and I would always get these responses, "Have you ever published?" or "Why haven't you published?"
Yes.
And I'm at of an age now where I felt, well, I have to do this before I get too old to do it. So that's kind of what allowed me to put it together, or motivated me to put it together. And then I put it together during that third year of COVID. So it was kind of confined to the house and so forth anyway. So it was a great time to do it.
Just like overnight as an air traffic controller, you took advantage of the COVID shutdown and took that time that a lot of people probably don't even remember what they did, didn't do a whole lot during that period, and you sharpened your skills as a poet and put out the book Water for the Rose. How do you compose or bring a poem together? Talk about the creative process, and it's probably different from poem to poem, but overall, how do you go about developing an idea and then bring it in poetry form?
There's a couple things. Sometimes I'm triggered by an event or some kind of worldly situation that I just feel impelled to just begin writing something about it. Other times, I'm also a collage artist. I think there's a collage in the background. You can see there a little
Oh,
bit.
yes.
I did that, and I've done a lot of those. And what I've kind of learned is it's kind of interesting to put images together that we normally don't associate together. And that kind of creates a new or a totally new kind of image or a way of understanding the two images that are not exactly the same, but now they say something different together. So I really seek out images. I find images in photographs. I find images in life. So if I have a theme, I say, okay, what are the images around that theme? What's tangible? What can I digest? What can I take in and taste? So that's kind of somewhat of the process.
How long does it normally take? And I'm sure it varies from poem to poem, but from the concept to actually getting it to the point where you feel it's a finished product now. This is where I want it to be. It says what I want it to say.
It's different for each poem. Some poems I've written in a matter of just a couple minutes and with very little revision. Other poems written and I've worked at and I've, gone over and over and revised and so forth. So it just depends upon the poem. But I had a high school teacher one time when we took our essay exams. She said, "I just want your answers to be dripping with the essence." And I've always kind of kept that in the back of my mind, dripping with the essences. So what can I take out of here that's not really necessary? Where am I just kind of rambling on, So
Yes.
I do a lot of cutting and a lot of taking out.
With us on the program, Wayne Luthi, Luthi, author of two books of poetry, Water for the Rose and I Am Here, Let's Go Home. Time going by so quickly in the program. Chat for a few more minutes, and then I'm going to ask Wayne at the end to read a couple of poems, recite a couple of poems from his book. What do you strive for when you write? When you sit down to write a poem, what do you hope you evoke in terms of emotions and thought from the reader?
It's almost like I try to find a little bit, I guess, off in the mystical area. I try to find the transcendent within the ordinary. I try to describe moods and feelings and touch places that maybe people have experienced but have never really expressed. I try to give some feeling for a mystical sea that we all live in, but yet perhaps don't see. So it's a challenge to kind of reach for places that haven't been touched or given recognition to.
Well, and you do that so well, and you'd almost think by now just about every area has been touched, but you find areas that haven't been or present them in a new way that gets us thinking and being appreciative of what's going on around us. I keep talking about the best way to read this collection. You're the poet. This is your collection. What's the best way for people? How would you suggest they take the book Water for the Rose and enjoy it?
Well, when I take a book of poetry, I will usually get to a place where I find a poem or two that I really like. And then I kind of just savor that for a while. And then once I have some kind of understanding of how the artist or the poet communicates, then I can go back and read some of the others. It makes it the If one finds a poem that they really like, it's almost a key into the other poetry.
What is so magical about poetry? You can say the essence of what you say in a poem, and it goes over our heads, and we really don't pay much attention. It doesn't resonate. When you say it in a poetic way, as you do, suddenly we have these images, we have these feelings, we have these emotions. What's the magic of poetry, do you think?
Well, I think as opposed to, say, like a novel or a short story, they take us kind of on a linear journey through characters and other people. Whereas I believe poetry is more direct and goes directly to the person reading themselves. And I think if a person likes or enjoys poetry, it just kind of feeds something on a level that it's perhaps not lived out, but yet lives almost on in a way in the inner world.
And I'm sure it's different with individuals as they read the poem. Something may spark in one person and not in another, and that's sort of the
one of the
features of poetry. It's up to our interpretation. Wayne Lutie, the time's going quickly. I'm going to get a couple more questions, and I'm going to have you read a couple of poems here. But what is your hope, your want for your poetry? You put so much into this. What is it you hope the takeaway is that we, the reader, will get from your poems?
Well, I think if a reader finds a line or two that just sticks and they just take with them, like a line from Rilke that I take with me is, perhaps all the dragons of our lives are just something that want to see us beautiful and brave, you know. And if a poem or a piece of writing can thing like that, that really speaks to us, it's almost like a jewel, or that we carry.
And you've been able to do that. The reviews are excellent for Water for the Rose, the book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. And poems to be savored, not devoured. So take your time, read it, and enjoy it. What are you working on now? What project, what compilation are you working on now?
My next kind of a theme to kind of put together is going to be requiems. And we live in a time in history where lately we've seen some disappearance of loyalty, and possibly the diminishing of democracy, and diminishing of truth, diminishing of hope is being lost. So
yes.
Requiem for loyalty, requiem for democracy, requiem for truth, and requiem for hope. But I want to approach them in a way almost like music does, you know. So with an honoring and a respect for those things that we've experienced in our life that seem to be sliding.
Well, I look forward to that. I mentioned the other book, I Am Here, Let's Go Home. I'm going to take just a minute to mention that here. This, again, is a lot of your life. You don't let an experience go by, do you? You sort of store this as your childhood and traveling. All of this is sort of resource material for your creative poetry writing. Tell me a little bit about that book, because that's receiving excellent reviews, and it's available as well at Amazon right now.
Well, San Francisco is, you know, my that song, you know, My Heart is San Francisco.
Yes.
It rings true. The experience there were my foundational experiences. So my first memory, and it's just of an image. And I guess this is what reinforces my fondness for image, is that when we are just infants, you know, we don't have mind. We see our mother. She is an image. So my first image that I remember is just raising my head and looking out a window and just seeing gray fog. That's the first image that I recall. So And my parents lived about a mile from the Golden Gate Bridge as the crow flies, maybe even less, half a mile. And I could hear the foghorns at night. And so that kind of created a very kind of a mystical orientation for me in how I pick up life or whatever. It was very beginnings. But
yes,
I have a deep fondness for San Francisco, and I try to find the more soulful qualities about it. And I admit it has many contradictions. It's a place of beauty and love, but it's also a place of great tragedy. It's where people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. It's where homelessness is horrible. But it's also one of the most enchanting in terms of visual views and what it has to offer.
Well, life is contradictory, so it's something we can take and sort of carve it to our own thought process, and you do that in, again, both the books, Water for the Rose and I Am Here, Let's Go Home. I ask Wayne to put together a couple of poems to end the program, to read for us, and these are examples that you will find in his books, and we'll give you that information before we close here. What have you chosen for us to read on the program?
Well, what I'll first read is from Water for the Rose, and the poem is entitled Notes Written on the Tablecloth. Pull the blanket off your words, off the sheet that covers a deeper bed, and comb through the crayon lines that your dream fingers have drawn. Like skin that has remained untouched for too long, we forget the milk of our own innocence. Our bread is warmed by knowing the unspoken words, wanting to go beyond the glances that divide us. Lost in laughter, or perhaps where we pursue regret, the moment only wants the brave turning of our head. Tell me where the candle burns into the messages we never left for each other, into the glass breaking across the tiles of cold fear. Allow me to watch your fingers dip this bread into the wine. What menu options do we choose? And when we do decide, and when do we decide to look at each other? In this moment, the calm of our own echo remembers those we lovingly found. We bring them with us on the platter of our vulnerability, wanting gentle savoring. Pour your oceans into my oceans, and yet I may never know how you will carve my canyons. In our rush to forget, and while we dress our privacy, it may never occur to us to tell within the gaze of our eyes gleam.
So well done. That was from Water for the Rose. You've got a second one there. Is that from the second book?
Yes, this poem, it's the first poem in I Am Here, Let's Go Home's Cafe Trieste. This is a cafe in North Beach, and I did my college homework there. It was owned by an Italian man and woman, and I used to just be entertained by their family arguments in Italian while I was doing my college homework there. It's also where a lot of poets and writers did some of their writing. Cafe Trieste. Light combs the morning hills through glass windows, through tangled slept hair, through reveries and uncombed imagination. Milk streamers gargle and spew froth crescendos while the unread papers wait for fingers to turn again their already turned pages. You come here to find complete absorption in a story you can blanket yourself in for its closeness to the sidewalks, for how it pulsates in your veins, for how it takes you beyond identity. You come here to let your tongue swim in the pleasure of foam and mocha while taken to some distant passion only reserved for the most daring in an ascending chorus of Puccini. What can meld city and memory more an esteemed infusion of sound, a scratchy recording of a different time where O Ma Bambino Caro cradles vulnerability, openness. So you stir through the conversations, savor the light and shadows and hear what saga lives behind hesitant voices. The differences in faces, their etched history, their sculpted knowing, that are like the photographs by a frescoed wall as legacies of their moments that weave time with nostalgia. Not having to apologize for privacy, you watch the shared tremble in hands. Most have stopped here to embrace an aria, the warmth of a coffee, and an accepting glance.
So well done. And both of those examples from Wayne's two books, Water for the Rose and I Am Here, Let's Go Home. Books available at Amazon, the usual places. We can follow you too on Facebook, I understand as well.
Yes. I believe it's Wayne Luthi, author-poet.
And that's spelled L-U-T-H-I, and you'll get all the information there. And that's on our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us. I want to thank King Pages Press for making our conversation possible today. Wayne, it's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to the new book you're working on. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program today.
Rick, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. And keep in mind, we're approaching gift-giving time. Great idea for yourself or for somebody on the list. You can't go wrong with either of the books we've talked about, Water for the Rose or I Am Here, Let's Go Home by Wayne Luthi. That's L-U-T-H-I. And all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.